Please turn with me as I read for us from God's Word. First from Daniel, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 10. And then we'll read from Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 5 and 6. First from the Old Covenant, then from the New. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel, unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an interdict that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the interdict and sign the document, so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and interdict. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem, and he got down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. And from Matthew's Gospel, we read the following. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." May God bless the reading of his holy and inspired word. Amen indeed. When Dr. Carlton asked me a week ago Tuesday if I would be willing to speak in chapel services today, he apologized for the relatively short notice upon asking me. It seems that there was some sort of a mix-up in communications between he and Professor Johnson as to who was in charge of getting a speaker for today's service. So you have standing before you today the result of a mix-up. Of course, that's sort of what my parents said, I remember one time. I was sort of the mistake, the last of four children. But we thank God that He does work and move through earthen vessels. And I, as an earthen vessel, stand before you today with my prayer being that God will speak with all clarity through me as I deliver this message. Now, concerning the matter of prayer, we read of this a while ago in the Scriptures. Why should we as Christians bother to pray? Are we so naive to think that a prayer a day keeps the devil away? Is it so simple as that? Perhaps we just don't realize what sort of force we're dealing with when we talk about prayer, the mightiest force in the world. But when Satan seems to have won the daily battles, when we're at the end of a hard day and our struggles before us, we're weary, bruised, battered, beaten, it's difficult at best to imagine that we have even 1 ounce of force within us, other than possibly bewilderment and frustration. Friends, I say today to us, I'm speaking to you and I'm speaking to me. We need to pray. We cannot afford not to pray. Daniel obviously felt this great need of prayer, real prayer, which he prayed 3 times daily. He felt so strongly about prayer, in fact, that he risked his life in order to spend his quiet time alone with his God. Christ stressed to all those who would follow him the importance of a regular time alone with the Heavenly Father. We previously read from his instructions in Matthew chapter 6. Surely Christ is, in this 6th verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew, not only is he comparing the manner in which we pray, but I believe that he is also telling us the regularity of which we should pray. Notice the wording here in the Scripture. If you pray, no, that's not what he says, is it? When you pray. When you pray and go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father. The implication is here certainly one of a regular private prayer life, a regular quiet time with our Lord. An anonymous author of the Devil's Beatitudes stated the 9th and final beatitude as follows: Blessed is he who has no time to pray, for he is an easy prey. Amen. What struggles and pressures we all face every day of our lives. Seminary would be an excellent example of that. I can honestly attribute my perseverance here through the seminary to a couple of main factors. The first being my quiet time alone with God, which I with much shame admit that it has been all too often irregular. And the second thing that has sustained me, I believe, has been my time alone with my wife. I'm fortunate enough to be married. Although I must say that a lot of those times together have not been so quiet. But this has been an important factor to me also. My mother kept this little verse tucked inside her mirror when she was a student at the seminary. You can imagine how much that it means to me to get this from her, which sustained her through her seminary days. It has been an invaluable reminder to me. In the quiet of the morning or evening, speak thy will, O Lord, to me, while my heart is open, waiting for a vision fresh from thee. Show thy way to me more clearly. Give my soul a wider view of thy purpose in my living, what thou, Lord, wilt have me do. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. May we keep our minds stayed on him. A little girl was asked by her mother if she had had her evening prayers yet, to which she replied, "Well, no, I couldn't think of anything I needed." Friends, I think our need for quiet time alone with God should be our strongest one. Not only do we need to pray, but others need our prayers. How often do we respond to someone by saying, "Yes, I'll remember you in my prayers." And what happens? A few weeks go by, and we forget all about that request that was made. Maybe it's only days, moments. Are we really taking this matter of prayer seriously? Intercessory prayer is not something to be taken lightly. In fact, it is prayer that changes the world. Jesus changed the world, didn't he? At least for a certain few, when he selected the 12 disciples. This was a most serious, crucial decision for our Lord in selecting the 12. How did he begin his decision-making process? He began it with prayer. And it was at this time that Jesus went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day had come, he called and chose his 12 disciples. What better example, friends, than that? You know, among my favorite classes here at Southeastern has to be the classes that I have had under the leadership of Dr. Bob Dale. And one of the main reasons for that is that we begin every class session, other than those sessions in which we're having an exam, with a time of giving, the giving and the receiving of prayer requests. I suppose on exam days everybody knows what the request of the hour is. But in this setting, this power that prayer has is released. And we as students are given the opportunity to pray for the concerns of our fellow students. Are we going to be guilty of journeying through 3, 4, 5 years of seminary, however many it takes us, of going through that and getting out into our professional ministry situation and yet allow the needs of our fellow comrades and loved ones to go unprayed? Heaven forbid that we do this. Others are depending on us for our prayers. We need to pray. Others need our prayers. And in the third point, and perhaps most importantly, God desires for us to spend time alone with him. A young boy who had recently learned the Lord's Prayer began to pray as follows: "Our Father, who art in heaven, how'd you know my name?" Well, the boy may have missed the words, but certainly he may have a point right here, that God, Almighty God, not only knows our names, but he knows the number of hairs on the head of each of us. Some of us would probably be a little easier to count than others, but God knows every one of them. And a very personal God, that's what we have the privilege of worshiping, one who desires our fellowship with him. Robert B. Munger, in his My Heart, Christ's Home, tells about his walk with the Lord through his home. Here they enter one special room, which he calls the drawing room. This room was rather intimate and comfortable. I liked it. It had a fireplace, overstuffed chairs, a bookcase, sofa, and a quiet atmosphere. He also seemed pleased with it. He said, "This is indeed a delightful room. Let us come here often. It is secluded and quiet, and we can have some real fellowship together." He promised, "I will be here every morning early. Meet with me here, and we will start the day together." So morning after morning, I would come downstairs to the drawing room, and he would take a book of the Bible from the bookcase. He would open it, and then we would read together. He would tell me of its riches and unfold to me its truths. He would make my heart warm as he revealed his love and his grace toward me. They were wonderful hours spent together. In fact, we began to call the drawing room the withdrawing room. It was a period when we had our quiet time together. But little by little, under the pressure of many responsibilities, this time began to be shortened. Why, I don't know, but I thought I was too busy to spend time with Christ. I remember one morning when I was in a hurry, rushing down the steps, eager to be on my way. As I passed the drawing room, the door was ajar. Looking in, I saw a fire in the fireplace and the Lord sitting there. Suddenly, in dismay, I thought to myself, he was my guest. I had invited him into my heart. He had come as Lord of my home, and yet here I am, neglecting him. I turned and went in. With downcast glance, I said, "Blessed Master, forgive me. Have you been here all these mornings?" "Yes," he said. "I told you I would be here every morning to greet you." Then I was even more ashamed. He had been faithful in spite of my faithlessness. I asked his forgiveness, and he really forgave me, as he does when we are truly penitent. He said, "The trouble with you is this. You have been thinking of the quiet time, of the Bible study and prayer time, as a factor in your own spiritual progress. But you have forgotten that this hour means something to me also. Remember, I love you. I have redeemed you at a great cost. I desire your fellowship." "Now," he said, "do not neglect this hour, if only for my sake. Whatever else may be your desire, remember, I want your fellowship." There is a certain restaurant, a bar, nightclub, call it what you want. I won't call any names, but it's one located in North Raleigh, which prides itself as being the center of dining, dancing, and diversions. I'm afraid, friends, that we as Christians are oftentimes guilty of falling into this trap of being diverted from a constant, consistent, persistent prayer life, a life of fellowship with God. Surely God deserves our fellowship, free from all diversions. So let us never face the day until we have first faced God. Like Daniel, we will not, we cannot stumble as long as we're on our knees. Let us pray. Our most gracious God, we thank you for the power in prayer, a power, though, which we need to exert much more frequently than we have in the past. May this benediction serve as but the beginning of a more dedicated life of prayer for each and all of us. Now to you, who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.